Good morning. Hope you're enjoying the meetings. I'm going to kind of focus on our AdaptN tool and how it is a valuable tool in terms of reducing nitrate leaching losses. And so where are we now? We're really in a transitional period going from use of standards, BMPs, voluntary adoption, and cost sharing to somewhat more regulatory approach. The regulators are basically saying, well, some of these watersheds and basins need to go on pollution diets, and you see that some of these are very ambitious diets. Think about the Gulf of Mexico trying to reduce nutrient losses by 45%. Even if you did, if you got 100% of the farms to participate, it would be ambitious. So we have quite a challenge here that places itself out at multiple level, federal, state, and going down to the watershed level. The fertilizer industry is responding, in my view, appropriately with the 4R initiative, and probably you're all familiar with it. I wanted to highlight that AdaptN, the tool that we developed, is basically sort of the ultimate 4R tool, because we develop recommendations, rate recommendations, based on fertilizer source, timing, and placement, and I'll explain that a little bit later. So, but one of the challenges is this, basically. When you try to promote an optimum N rate, there really is none. There's a distribution of optimum N rates. This is data from Iowa, from John Sawyer's experiments. And so you have a very wide range of optimum N rates. And this is even for given rotations and no manure application. So, and we know that this is not just purely stochastic. We know that there are underlying processes. There's soil variability, and there's weather variability, especially. Okay, so that's what we're trying to address with using models. And because we know that all these factors that you read here, that I'm sure you're familiar with, are really key factors in influencing the optimum N rates if you try to apply fertilizer. What we found is that weather, especially precipitation, is especially important, because you may end up with a very wide range set of optimum N rates depending on your on the weather conditions. The other point to make is that these interactions are quite complex and nonlinear. You can't just say, because we got 3 inches more rain, you need to reduce or increase your N rate by a certain amount. It's actually a lot more complex. So, complexity in interactions for many of us means models, and so we have an opportunity to engage models. One of the key insights for us, some of the earlier work, Sean Sobejian and Jason Kahapka out of my program, was that basically it was early season weather that was sort of the key determining factor for optimum corn N rates. Not mid-season, but early season weather. And that you could use models to actually explain a lot of that variability. So we did that, and this graph sort of, then kind of brings that together in terms of, you can really increase your predictability as you go into the early growing season. At the beginning of the growing season, the best you can do is sort of an average. But as the growing season progresses and the weather events play themselves out, you can become much more precise about what your optimum end rate is for a particular location. So my university requires of me that I put up this slide. I have to disclose to you that we've licensed this product. It's been commercialized. I have a small equity interest, and the company, Agronomic Technology Corporation, provides some funding so that we can maintain a research partnership. So I'll let you know. So why the AdaptN approach? It's basically sort of a cloud-based computational approach, and it integrates soil management and weather information to create location and time-specific N recommendations for corn. And so it's precision. It's precision management. But it's not just in space only, it's also in time, because that's really what you need to do with nitrogen. Opportunities to optimize crop returns and reduce environmental impacts. I'll show you some data on that. And we're engaging cloud-based technologies with all the communication benefits and record-keeping benefits that come with that. And maybe some of you saw Greg Laveau's presentation earlier today on that. So these are the factors that AdaptN includes in making a recommendation. I'm not going to go through the details, weather, soil, crop, and economics related factors. And so we kind of combine those all into what we hope is a very precise rate recommendation. A couple of interface shots. The tool has a sort of mapping soil-related interface. Indicate what the what either the soil type by soil series name or soil texture class. It all kind of relates back to Surgo, basically a database that we developed based on Surgo database. So drainage, etc. Just to give you some of these interface slides. Tillage and residue level, organic matter levels, crop information, cultivar types, date of planting, rotational effects, and all that. So all of those are included. It has some functionality. You can see here on the right side where, you know, if you basically do the same thing for multiple fields, you don't have to re-enter all the information. You can enter shape files. You can have a many different ways you can enter that information. It has a manure component that is, I think, is very strong. We included that from the start. Irrigation, and then of course any other nitrogen applications that occurred. Then you get a report page, and so in this case the recommendation is 140 pounds per acre, and then we give all kinds of sort of backup information that helps you interpret that recommendation. Like, for example, how much we expect to be in the crop at the end of the growing season, how much has already been mineralized, how much has been lost. We give a virtual PSMT. We indicate how much water is in the soil, how much precipitation has been received, all those kind of things that, you know, provide some of that transparency. We do daily simulations, and then we push that out through emails or text messages so that you have a daily update on the nitrogen status of your field and what the recommendation is. So we're kind of maximizing the use of cloud-based technology. And then we try to be transparent. We give all kind of graphical outputs that help you interpret the numbers, like how much nitrogen has been lost, how much is leaching, how much is denitrification, etc. So the question then is, can the use of this tool reduce nitrate leaching? And so I'm going to step back a little bit and give you a little background on the model development and calibration. That's because we're now using the model. A well-calibrated model can be engaged to make estimates of leaching reductions without having to do a lot of further lysimeter studies or anything. The validation that we did and the field trials that we've conducted over the past few years in New York and Iowa, and then the simulations that came out of that. And so close to the last slide, I'll show you what the actual outcome is. But I wanted to go back to some of our earlier work in the 1990s, where we basically did a lot of lysimeter studies. And that was sort of the foundation of developing the tool, the model based on the leaching model, which was in existence at then, was developed by colleagues at Cornell. And we went through a lot of these lysimeter studies to calibrate the tool. And we have a unique research farm in New York where you have basically sandy, clay, and medium texture soil all on the same farm. So it was sort of an ideal environment. And we built a lot of lysimeters, 16 on each of those sites. We started out in the early 90s with rate experiments. At the time, you know, we had fertility rate recommendations, but we really didn't know very much about what the leaching potential of that was. And some of you were involved in similar work. And basically what we found was that as you increase the rate up till sort of what the plant demand is, you have relatively little increase in leaching, but once you start over-fertilizing, you start to see a lot more losses, okay? And then we used the lysimeter data, so 3 years, and then we calibrated the model, and then we evaluated how well the model did, and you see the graphs on the right, and we could actually, with the model, could predict leaching losses really quite well, and so we were very happy with that. Not perfect, but really quite well. So then, a few years later, we started manure experiments. So timing of manure, and then under orchard grass and maize. And so basically, we gained a lot of experience and a lot of data when we also started to add manure, okay? And I'm talking in generalities. And then we went through the same exercise of calibrating the model and then evaluating it. And of course, when you bring in manure, it gets a little bit more complex. But we still, you know, we feel pretty good about the way we've been able to calibrate the model, and it does give you pretty good estimates. Then we did some very independent model evaluation, so we went to a completely different site and 5 years of data, and so we evaluated the leaching losses and the estimates of the leachium, or the what we now call the PNM model, which is basically the engine of the AdaptN tool. And you can see the measured values, and the line is the estimate, and we thought it was pretty good. I mean, not perfect, but it's really quite good. So we feel we can make very good estimates with the model. We also did some validation studies with some data from Minnesota, from Jeff Fetz and Gallus Randall, from their lysimeter studies, and similar results. So that means we basically have a tool that does a very good job in estimating leaching losses. All right, so now we can apply that more broadly. So let me now go back to AdaptN, so we feel we have a decent tool. So if we then engage AdaptN in management, can the tool improve end recommendations at site risk time? That's one question. And the economic component, can it save growers money? Because if you can find the win-win solution where you can save them money and you can reduce the environmental impact, you know, that's going to be great. We're going to be able to make a lot of progress. Okay, so environmentally, can we decrease losses to the environment? So we did a number of strip trials in for 3 years, 11 through 13 actually, they're being continued, 104 strip trials with collaborators in Iowa and New York, a range of management conditions, grain and silage, actually some sweet corn as well, and different timing of application. But most of these were conditions where the farmer was already optimizing the timing. They were already doing typically a starter and site rest scenario. Okay, so could we improve on that? We basically did strip trials with the site-by-site comparison, so the grower-selected rate versus the AdaptN rate. I sometimes use the analogy, it's like a boxing match, you have a winner and a loser. Okay, so it's very straightforward, it's good for demonstration trials as well. And so here are some of the results then. So this is 104 trials, and the top graph shows, you know, AdaptN minus the grower comparison, the delta total N applied. So in the vast majority of the cases, we recommended lower N rates than what the grower was using. In a few cases on the right, you see, we actually recommended slightly higher rates. And that was because those were wet springs, and so that was justified. All right. Well, actually, that's what the second graph, the middle graph, shows, is that's the delta yield. Okay, and so as we reduced the N rate, the yield in general sometimes was a little reduced, sometimes was a little higher, but on the right there, you see that we had significantly higher yields in the cases where we recommended a little bit more. So the higher N rate was justified, all right, by, you know, through higher yields. And the bottom graph is the delta profit, all right? And again, if you go all the way to the right, we see that when we recommended somewhat higher rates, the profits were really much higher. But even when we recommended lower rates, in general, the profits were higher because we reduced the input cost, okay, primarily. So then the question is, well, what are the environmental benefits? So the top graph is the nitrate leach, the topic of this session. And you can see that in the vast majority of cases, we were able to, and these are the model estimates, okay, we were able to reduce the leaching losses, and in a few cases we had a little bit more. So those were those cases where we recommended more, but overall we were able to reduce the leaching losses by 24%, okay? And then the total N losses, basically the same story, we reduced it by 25%. So when you think about this, so even though we were dealing with farmers who were more or less already optimizing their timing, we were still able, using a tool, by being more precise in space and time, we can still reduce environmental losses by about 25%. Okay. So in conclusion, the tool uses weather, soil, and management data to provide precision, site and time specific recommendations. We showed that the potential for significant increases in profitability and overall reduced inputs, and that the leaching losses could be greatly reduced by about 25% or so. So we do have a win-win opportunity, and I think that basically the concept is, if we are more precise, we can also reduce the environmental losses. So a win-win, and let's hope we can kind of develop more of this technology so we can bring this to farmers and say, we can help you increase your profits while also reducing the environmental impacts. Thank you very much. Okay, you want to thank you.
I wonder if you can comment on how a tool like this would work in more arid environments.
The value of it would work in an arid environment because it accounts for all the processes. But the value may be less because the challenge with the unknown optimum end rate is associated with the greater variability in weather. So especially in the Corn Belt. You know, you really have very dry years like 2012, and then you have very wet years like 2013. And so what sort of is happening that, you know, most farmers fertilize at the high end to make sure that they have enough in those wetter years. And that means that probably in 2 out of 3 years, they significantly over-fertilize. But in 1 out of 3 years, they probably need that much. In an arid environment, you have less of that kind of weather variability. But it's still a valuable tool because you can link it to irrigation scheduling. In fact, we have an irrigation feature there. So you can still bring that in, but you don't have these wild swings from year to year. Yeah. At least, I mean, some of you guys know more about that than I do, but that's my understanding.
You didn't mention topography. How does it deal with
topography? We're not. It's a 1D model. And you probably are familiar with the Leachem model, as that. So we're currently not sort of simulating redistribution within the landscape, but we are accounting for soil type differences in different parts of the landscape. And that's definitely something that, you know, maybe a few years from now we can take it up to that level.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.